Welcome, guys. We're the Broads Who Binge. I'm Molly.
And I'm Marissa.
And yeah, you know, we're breaking down all the shows that you need to be watching or you've already watched.
That's right. And this one is a little mini episode for you. This week, Molly is guiding us through this mini experience.
Yeah, so it's going to be a great one, guys. Buckle up.
Well, Mall Doll, do you want to tell us anything about your week before you jump into your show?
Yeah, sure. All right, guys. Well, we had the highly anticipated date that I went on Saturday.
Yes. Well, give us the scoop.
Okay, well, I just, where to begin? It's difficult. And also, my parents listen to this podcast. So, honestly, I thought it went so well. Here's the thing. I thought it went really well. I feel like we had a lot to talk about. I'm not going to lie to you. I did get pretty intoxicated. That I can't say didn't happen.
Did you do it, like, on purpose or on accident? Or, like, how did you get drunk? How did that experience happen?
Yeah. So, I did, like, start my day at the pool. So, I had 3 glasses of wine before the date.
Okay. Can I just pause? When you were posting photos of yourself at the pool and I knew you were about to go on a date, I was like, are we sure this is a good prep method?
Yeah. Well, I was nervous. And also, yeah, I'm sure I probably smelled like sunscreen and sweat because I didn't shower before. I just went straight from the pool to the date.
Which is cute.
Yeah, so, but I needed to, like, calm my nerves a little bit, you know?
Yes, of course.
So,
also, wait, I need to notify you and the listeners that my dog has chosen now of all times to play with a squeaky toy, so apologies.
That's okay. I forgive Bacho.
Thank you. Anyway, please continue.
So, I did drink before, I did make the decision to go into the date, like, not even buzzed, but just, like, a loose, conversational.
Sure, sure.
Ready to mix it up, you know? But then we just ended up, like, drinking for a lot of hours. I wasn't, like, drinking because I was like, oh, I need, like, you're boring, I need to get drunk.
Right, right.
I was more just, like, drinking because I was enjoying it. I would say that was my level.
Well, that's great. That's a great way to, I mean, I don't know that, like, we should be advocating for getting drunk on your first date, but.
Yeah, I don't think, I've made that mistake many times. I've made that mistake time. It's a tale of all this time.
I guess, though, if it's, like, because you're having fun and not because you can't think of anything to talk about, which I have done before. So you just keep taking a sip of your beverage. You know, I guess if you had to pick one, the former is better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe it would have, but the last date I went on, like, not this one, but the one before, I went in totally sober and the guy was, like, pretty shy and I felt like it was hard to, like, get there on conversation.
Yeah, right.
So I had to go, like, the opposite on this time. Honestly, so yeah, I thought the date went really well. I think it's, like, the first guy I've ever been on a date with that was taller than 5'10", so that was an exciting new thing for me.
Right, right.
But, you know, we don't need to go into, like, the full deep dive, but regardless, the date ended in a full ghost, even though all signs pointed to a successful date.
Yeah, I have to say, when you give me the scoop on the date, I don't think I would have guessed in a million years it would be a ghost. Even if it was like a, hey, you know what, in thinking about it further, I'm not sure we're a match, but I would not have expected a ghost. Why do you think, what is your analysis now that it's been almost a week? What's your hot take? Why do you think he ghosted you? What type of psychoanalysis have you done?
Okay, so I spent a lot of hours thinking about this. So I hope he's not listening to this podcast, because if you are, I didn't think about it at
I
all.
Hope he is. We'll just
tag him on this episode on
because
Instagram.
Can you imagine? Like, he's a goblin and not a ghost. He, like, ghosts but haunts you. But, like, lingers.
Honestly, that would be, like, pretty full savage of me. And I'm, like, not coming on here to talk shit because I'm, like, above that.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are things I could talk shit about, but, like, not going to. Taking the high road. I don't know. So, I think my conclusion is that I didn't sleep with him on the first date. I think that's why.
Really?
Okay, so I was not on that train until the two straight men that I did a deep dive with. And they said that that's what they think.
But wouldn't he then be interested in a second date so he could bang you?
That's what I thought. But they said no. They were like, the way that you've described the story, the only thing that we think that you, like, they were like, you didn't do anything wrong. But they were like, it just seems like he was a fuckboy in disguise, like a respectful fuckboy. Well, yeah,
I think that's right. And I want to reiterate, you didn't do anything wrong. And as someone who has ghosted someone before, it's a dick move. Like, it's not about the other person. It's about you. It is a dick move to not have the balls to say why you're not interested. And I've been ghosted. I've done it. It's not nice. So it's not you, it's him. But that's interesting that you would have spent so many hours together if he just wanted to bang. I don't know. I'm sort of still thinking he was like kind of embarrassed about how the date went. I still think it was a him situation and not him and not you, but I think that he had like a weird thing that he maybe felt embarrassed of, and so now he's like, oh shoot, I can't.
Yeah, I know. And unfortunately, we'll never know unless we tag him in this podcast and he listens. And maybe he'll come on as a guest and be like, listen what your girl Molly did.
Well, I think
and
then
tell a full different story. But I no, I think that. We're, God. I like am too scared. That would be like,
look, if you're listening, Hinge date, I really think, feel free to contact me. And
yeah, contact Molly. Marissa.
I'll keep it anonymous, and that way we'll get you on. We'll get one of those voice changers that makes it sound funny, so you won't know which failed date it was, and we'll do it, like, it'll be like an expose on Dateline.
I mean, honestly, I would be so into it. I feel like it's the content that we need in this time.
It'd be good.
I mean, I'm only, like, 60% scared. But the other 40% is very curious.
What if he thinks you ghosted him? Like, what if it's somehow he texted you and it never came through? And so he's the one out there thinking you ghosted him.
Wow. And it's like a misconnection. And then we meet a year later.
What if we're
actually soulmates? I mean, we still can't rule out the fact that he's dead.
Yeah, that was my other theory, that he might have died since.
Yeah, Marissa thought that maybe he was murdered and I was going to get implicated in his murder being the last one to see him.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, so that I don't sound like the only crazy one on here, you did Zillow his house.
Okay, well, I need to know where I stand, like, in the relationship, whose house is nicer.
No,
like,
I don't disagree. I Zillow everyone's house, but yeah. I'm just
I know
saying,
that's, like, yeah. That's, like, petty of me. I shouldn't do that, but
no,
FYI,
I'm curious
my cash. Condo is more expensive than his, so.
Yeah, I think Zillowing, I just read an article that actually a new coronavirus quarantine pastime is people just, like, go on Zillow for fun and look things up.
Really?
Yeah, I just read an article about it yesterday.
Oh my god, also, if he is listening, can you imagine how crazy I sound now that I'm like talking about where he lives? Oh,
not really, because here's the thing, I hate that trope of like women are crazy and like a woman scorned, but here's the reality is like, because dating nowadays is not like your neighbor or like a guy you grew up with on your block, I feel like you sort of have to do your due diligence and do some digging, because I think that people get catfished, or even like less innocuous than catfishing. But like, I think that you really have to, especially as a woman, because there's like a lot of unsafe situations.
Yeah,
I think
no,
you have
true.
To do your research. So I don't think it's a crazy thing. I don't think it's a stalker thing. I think that it's a smart research thing.
That's true. Just like, you know, way to pass the time.
And also, don't look at my search history.
Oh, yeah, definitely don't. Like, no. full FBI level investigation on everyone.
Yeah, I'm it's scary how good I'm getting at it.
I know. I like try to not, but you just need to know.
That's right. Well, I'm bummed for you that it didn't go great, because it would have been nice if it had, but you know, I think that the next one will go better.
It will go better or it will go worse. I guess that's the thing about dating. You never know. Yeah, I'm just like trying
that
to
is true.
Guys, but it's so hard. Like the last guy that messaged me, like I was trying to talk about something that I like to talk about, which is travel. And this ties into the show, I promise. This will be like a perfect segue. But the guy was like, he like never even asked me a question. He just like,
yeah,
it was basically just like him trying to flex on me.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I see you've been to the Cliffs of Moher. I've been there. And I was like,
Me
in Ireland on Saturday. So I'm a little bit bummed. Where's your favorite place you've traveled? And he like listed these places in Europe, and then he goes, separate text, and he goes, but also I've been to some very interesting places such as Russia and China. Ask me no questions. It took everything in my power not to be like, oh wow, that's super interesting. I raise you Ethiopia, Jordan, Lebanon, solo trip to Colombia, Vietnam, and Cambodia. But wow, that's so cool that you went to Russia and China.
I have two thoughts. One is, I think you should have. And secondly, you know, I think the fact that you get so testy with men, I don't disagree with it, but it may not be conducive to a first date or like a first connection situation, or it is, and it's like, nope, that guy's not my vibe. So
yeah,
you know,
I can't with the like patronizing it. I can't with the patronizing.
No, I agree.
Like I just, especially if you're not gonna ask me any questions.
Yes, I've had that a lot.
I can't do it. I've been trying.
Single men out there, I can't tell you the amount of times that a man kills a conversation, and then he probably goes around thinking I was the bitch or I was the one who wasn't interested. But I've had so many dating experiences or, like, app experiences where the guy kills the conversation because they ask no questions back. And I'm like, okay, clearly this is not a good conversationalist.
Yeah, they're just – honestly, it's like they just want an ego and they just want to talk about themselves and they don't give a fuck about you.
That's right.
And I am not about that. I'm like, nope, if you don't ask me questions, it means you're not interested in my life, and that is an absolutely friggin' not.
Amen.
So anyway, but to the show that we're talking about, this is not just a Molly rants about her unsuccessful love life podcast. This is a podcast about television. Okay, so for this mini episode, I will spoil some, but honestly not really, because this show isn't one where like spoilers are going to happen. Like I'm not really going to spoil anything.
Great. Good. Because I don't even really remember what show you told me you're doing. So I'm
yeah.
I'm
so it's going to be a surprise for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. So the show that I'm talking about is Indian Matchmaking. So I think it premiered like 2 weeks ago, a week ago on Netflix, or at least like it just started popping up on like popular on Netflix recently.
Okay.
So it's a brand new show, 8 episodes, and the whole premise is that there's this Seema Aunty, and she is a professional matchmaker. She's based in India, but she also, for the most part, the couples that she's matching are in the United States. So they're like Indian Americans or like Indians who have immigrated to the US, etc.
Sure.
And so basically, yeah, she's a matchmaker hired usually by the person, but a lot of times influenced by their family to help them find like an arranged marriage situation. So you know how we like love Married at First Sight, etc. So I thought this was kind of an interesting twist on those types of dating shows.
Yes, I agree.
So there's like a lot of controversy about it, and I'm not really going to go into that because I like obviously can't really speak to like the Indian American experience, like, etc. They were just saying it was like a lot of like tropes about Indian culture, dating, like it was misogynistic. Like there was just like a lot of things that I don't feel like I can really comment on because I'm so far removed from Indian culture, to be perfectly blunt. So like who am I to comment on if it's a good or bad representation? But I can comment on like the just a dating show in general and like what my thoughts were.
You're not an expert in being Indian, but you are an expert in reality dating
shows. Yeah, exactly. I know my strengths and my weaknesses, and one of my strengths is trashy reality dating shows. I have a lot of experience and analysis.
You do. There's no one I'd trust more.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And same to you. Like, I feel like we really know the market. We know the comps.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So, first of all, how do you feel? So, they have this whole concept in the show that talks about, like, they'll be like, oh, do you have a love marriage or an arranged marriage? Would you ever... do like if you weren't with we're just like hypothetically you're single and you're like older wanting to be married, would you ever consider an arranged marriage?
I don't, at this point in my life, I don't feel such a strong desire to be married that I want it without sort of this romantic notion of falling in love. That said, I'm a firm believer that you grow in love and that it's more about kind of choosing and timing than like being swept off your feet. So I think it's totally possible to have an arranged marriage that grows into a love marriage. So I don't know that they're mutually exclusive. And also, this is like a funny side story that this is making me think of. One time I went to lunch with this like potential client who was Indian, and he had been in an arranged marriage, and he had two daughters that were like 18, like he'd been in it for a long time. And the waiter came up and was like, would you like a beer, sir? And the guy was like, surprise me. And the waiter was like, well, I don't know what you like, I don't want to disappoint you. And he was like, no, like literally anything. And he like walked away, the waiter. And the guy turned to me and he was like, I'm in an arranged marriage. I didn't meet my bride till I married her. You think I'm going to be disappointed with a surprise beer?
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's so good.
So I do think, I mean, I too cannot speak to like Indian culture, but I think that people really who have that experience can actually grow to really love their person and don't look at it as like a, like you're giving something major up by being in an arranged marriage.
No, I totally agree. And this show did do like, it wasn't just the matchmaker would fully blindly match with people. Like you got to go on dates with them.
Oh, nice.
So it wasn't like, oh, this is your person. It really was like having a high end matchmaker, but obviously like it was known that your intentions were, if it worked out, you would probably get married pretty quickly. But they did actually, like, go on dates and say no. And literally one of the men on the show had, like, dates with over 75 women and, like, with the matchmaker, and he, like, couldn't find anyone.
Do you think in that case, do you think it was a case of they really didn't match anyone who was good for him, or it was him?
Oh, it was totally him. Basically, the moral of the show was pretty much all the men on it were, I would say, mediocre to subpar. And, like, the women were great. Yeah. And it just, like, depressed me even more about my prospects. There's one of my fave guys. And this guy actually was really sweet. His name was, I'm going to butcher it, Vyasar?
Okay.
Vyasar? I don't remember how to pronounce it. I do apologize. And he had a secret, and he had to like decide whether like when to tell the girl that he was dating. And it was that his father went to prison for conspiracy to commit murder against his third wife.
Wow, love it.
And it was like he casually said it in a confessional, like at the end of an episode, and like you almost missed it. It was just like so
did he ever tell her?
Yeah, he and did.
Did it scare her away?
No, I'm trying to think if they ended up together or not. I feel like they like
would that
ended up doing okay.
Would that scare you away?
I mean, it's kind of a red flag.
It's a concern. I actually
like it's pretty. I mean, yeah. I mean, it might. To be perfectly honest,
I went on a date with a guy. It was our second date where he told me that his dad was in prison for trying to hire someone to murder his mom. And I guess.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I assumed it was like a white collar crime. Not that that's like necessarily better, but I wasn't expecting that. And I don't know. I'm not going to say that was the only reason, but we never went on another date.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because obviously I do think that you learn a lot of your relationship behaviors from your parents. Yeah. And so if like you're again, and like obviously I'm not saying that someone whose parent like who has a parent who's been incarcerated for a violent crime like can't be an incredible person. That's absolutely not true. But I have found in like men that I've dated that have had like fucked up families, they have like not treated me well, and their idea of a relationship has not been healthy, and that comes from them seeing their parents together,
right?
So, yeah, it might be a deal breaker for me. And then the other woman that I, like, she was so picky. She was, like, a full savage. She had a wine bar that she used to go to approximately an hour and 30 minutes before it closed on every first date. And so she would, like, they would be clearing the tables, like, by an hour and 15 minutes, and she would time them, and she just, like, churn and burn these first dates. And there was, like, a direct quote from her basically saying to – it was the extent of they were talking about travel, and somehow salt flats in Bolivia came up, and the guy didn't know that Bolivia had salt flats. And she literally, like, in a confessional was like, my husband needs to know that Bolivia has salt flats. And I watched that clip and I was like, wait, is this me? Yeah. Is this how I am on dates? It's literally me. Talk like, because I've totally done that before. Like, when a guy didn't know something super obvious, I've been like, well, he's an idiot.
Is Bolivia salt flats super obvious, though? Because it's not to me.
Bolivia is, it's like Iuni de Sol or something. It's like pretty famous, but only if you've looked into traveling to Bolivia.
Yeah, like
I wouldn't say if you're like a normal, like if you're a person who has not researched what to do in Bolivia, I don't feel like that would be common knowledge. Like I did know.
I respect people having deal breakers. I totally think we should. I'm not sure that that would be a deal breaker for me, at least.
No, I don't think that knowing that there are salt flats in Bolivia is a deal breaker for me either. But it sounds like I feel like there's a deal breaker that's potentially like I probably have absurd deal breakers that are like tangentially around that, you know?
Yeah, I do. I think we all probably do. I mean, mine isn't salt flats, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not passionate. Like, I'm not going to say no to a guy because he doesn't know there's salt flats in Bolivia. But
in the show, do the women and men have like equal say on whether they continue with each other?
Yeah, so it is completely, and like it was. I mean, they showed a lot of dates where like the girl would like the guy, and the guy would be like, "Yeah, I just don't think this is a connection," or vice versa. So they definitely both did have an equal say, which was cool. It does talk a lot about how influential people's families are in their relationship. It sounds like, especially like kind of in Indian culture, like parents, etc., can almost drive their children's decisions on who to marry, which was interesting because I just can't see my parents really caring unless like the person was like a mean person, like a bad person.
I think they probably care more than you think they do, but yeah.
I don't know. Meg and Carrie, you want to sound off in the comments here?
I hope they will.
What you think? But anyway, I would say it is not as good as Married at First Sight, in my humble opinion of reality date watching shows. But I would say it's a quality, like, for the quarantine, it's a quality show. It's worth watching. It did entertain me. There were some people who I was like, oh, I don't care if they find love at all. And then some of the people I really rooted for, they were really sweet, and I wanted them to find happiness. If there was a second season, would I watch it? Maybe, if there was nothing on. But I do think if you're into, like, a dating type show, it could be worth a watch.
How many hours is it? Or, like, how many episodes?
It's 8 episodes. Got it. And I think they are maybe 40 minutes.
14?
No, 40. Oh, sorry.
I'm in for 14 episodes.
No, I think it's 40.
It's actually on Quibi.
Yeah, it's a Quibi show. I forgot to say that. Yeah, so it's not like a hard endorse. I feel like this is kind of one that I wanted to do just as like a... Yeah, it's a passive endorsement. It was entertaining. I don't regret watching it, but I don't need you to watch it.
How many couples end up successful?
That's what I'm trying to remember, and they don't, like, show any of them really getting married. Like, they show one couple getting engaged, but a lot of them, it just, like, shows them dating around, and then they, like, say that they might start pursuing it, etc. There's not, like, a ending with a bow. That it is kind of an interesting format in that way.
Interesting. I wish that they would. I feel like, without having seen this show, if I was in the, like, editor's room or, like, producer's room, I would make sure to end with a wedding.
I know. Maybe they're setting up for season 2, though.
Maybe.
I don't know. But honestly, I mean, that's, like, pretty much the review. I don't have a ton more to say.
Well, I feel like that was a solid 6 out of 10 review, which is not great, but it's not terrible.
I was like, we're rating the show.
Yeah, 6 out of 10. not our yeah. current show. I think you did a 10 out of 10.
Okay, I was like, wait, I mean, yeah, we didn't, I was like, I didn't talk about the show at all, but I like, we gotta rate content about me Zillowing a man's house.
That's a 10 out of 10 all the time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like it was a 6 out of 10. It's nothing, like, don't stop what you're doing. Would I go on a date or watch the show? I guess that question. I don't know. Maybe the new Molly will go on a date.
Wow. You guys, you don't understand what a huge thing that means. First of all, it means don't watch the show because Molly hates dating. Secondly, it means Molly has turned a new leaf and she's a new woman, and ghosting hasn't scared her away. Goblining hasn't scared
her away. It hasn't. It's just reinvigorated me. I think it's one of those things where I, like, get off on the rejection and I'm going to be like, oh, you're going to ghost me? Well, just fucking wait. I'm going to get 25 more men to ghost me.
You think you're special? Oh,
you think you're the one?
You're not
you
the only ghost. You're...
Yeah, exactly. You think you can emotionally manipulate me? Well, you just wait, because I'm going to find a man who can fuck me up even worse than you did.
Yeah, well, that's... I don't...
That's all, folks.
That's all. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram.
Bye. Exciting news! Broads Who Binge is now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So pick your favorite platform, and if you're enjoying this, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.